you and good afternoon. June is National Dairy Month, a time to thank all the hard work those in the dairy industry do for all of us. A fun fact about dairy, a dairy cow will produce, on average, 6.3 gallons of milk each day. That's more than 2,300 gallons each year. I had a chance to talk to Todd Armour of Armour Dairy Farms in Carlinville yesterday about the dairy industry.
Pretty difficult, actually, to milk cows and make a living doing it. The animals are, through technology, are ever producing more. The feed quality is better, and from less animals or less of a environmental footprint, we're able to produce more milk.
What would you consider to be the biggest threat to the industry today?
Once again, probably consolidation. It's getting harder and harder to produce milk and produce an income, and especially at our size, there's just, even on the processing side, there's consolidation in our industry right now. Walmart's in the process of building a processing plant of their own and producing their own great value branded milk. So it's throwing our industry into a flux. You know, the co-ops that dominate our industry are trying to figure out what the next step is and try to stay ahead of the economic curve in the business.
Yeah, you have noticed, like at Walmart, you know, they can sell their great value milk for a lot cheaper than producers such as yourself can. That's just pure consolidation at this point.
Well, and to be real honest with you, you know, when you're buying $1.98 or 98 cent milk at the local retailers, they're selling it at a loss. They're purposely selling milk below cost, and they've done studies and done the research and discovered that if they sell cheap milk, it increases the trips through the door, and what they lose on milk, they gain back on selling dry goods. So they purposely are losing milk, losing money selling milk.
Yeah, and that's kind of a tactic that smaller dairy farmers such as yourself can't really afford to sell the milk for cheaper than it's valued at.
Right. Yeah, it really puts a squeeze on the cooperatives that we smaller dairy farmers are members of. The Prairie Farms of the world have to figure out how they're going to compete with that. If it's in other products or cultured products, or cheese, or how they're going to deal with it.
So on to the most important question, Todd. What is your favorite dairy product?
Cottage cheese. Specifically Prairie Farms cottage cheese.
Right.
cottage cheese, I understand, is a lot like making beer. The quality of the end product has a lot to do with the person that runs the plant, and there are little tweaks that you can make in the process that makes it bad or good. What I have found is Prairie Farms has an absolutely exemplary cottage cheese product. And when you go out and buy some of these other products that are made by other companies, it's not worth taking off the store shelf. So Prairie Farms cottage cheese, awesome, awesome product.
Well, thank you, Todd, both for your time for this interview and your dedication to the industry. Farmers don't get enough recognition, it seems like, and dairy farmers especially, with all the work that goes into it. So thank you again.
Well, thank you, Jamie. I appreciate your interest in what we're doing here, and anytime we can educate the public is a step forward, I think, for our industry.
Thank you again to Todd for taking the time to talk to me and his work that provides all of us with the dairy products we know and love. In local news, construction of the U of I feed mill is set to begin. The University of Illinois says it will begin building a multi-million dollar feed mill to replace the one that stood for more than 90 years. Construction will begin September 8th at the new site, located at the U of I's South Farms in Urbana. Construction is expected to be completed in June of next year. According to one estimate, the completed mill will produce about 16,000 tons of feed a year, or about 10,000 more tons than is produced for livestock and research by the feed mill that was built in 1927. Fox Development CEO Andrea Reduti says that more than half of the $11 million that the project will cost has been raised by the College of Agriculture, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. The Farm Show will continue after these messages. The warm temperatures we've been seeing the last month are likely to continue. DTN agriculture meteorologist Bryce Anderson expects most of Illinois to receive plenty of heat this month. "We're seeing that right now," he told the RFD radio network on Tuesday. "Our big feature over the next week and a half is going to be the push on some fairly hot conditions out of a large upper air high pressure ridge out in the southwestern U.S. that has just exhausted the moisture in the southwestern plains and all the way through the southwestern United States proper. Those conditions should bubble into the western half of the Midwest and catch most of Illinois. It's going to probably stay with us throughout much of the month of June, just kind of going back and forth," Anderson said. "This high will move northeastward a little bit, and then we'll see some relaxation, but always keeping things generally on the very warm side for the entire month of June. On the calendar, summer doesn't officially begin until June 21st. Ironically, Anderson said a break from the heat could come with the beginning of summer and continue into July. "There could be some very beginning stages of El Niño, a type of influence out of the Pacific that would kind of take the edge off of that high, but that remains to be seen." Although carrots are loved by many people, there are some varieties of carrots that should be avoided. Carrots are a favorite root vegetable of children and adults alike. This delicious carrot comes in many colors and sizes, but unfortunately the carrot family has a number of dangerous, poisonous plants in it. Two types of hemlock are stomach poisons when eaten. Poison hemlock is not native to Illinois and was added to the Illinois Exotic Weed List in 2015. It grows 4 to 9 feet tall with 4 to 6 inch white flowers. It has a purple spotted waxy stem. This plant is common along roadsides and ditches and has a disagreeable mousy odor. The entire plant is poisonous if ingested. Water hemlock is considered by many to be the most poisonous plant in the northern temperature zone. Only a small amount of the toxic substance in the plant is needed to produce poisoning in animals or in humans. This native plant grows 3 to 6 foot tall with 6-inch white flowers and purple-streaked stout stems. All parts of this plant are poisonous, especially the roots. The next three dangerous carrots cause photodermatitis. Cow parsnip, wild parsnip, and giant hogweed contain an allergen that is activated by sunlight to cause a rash, blisters, or other skin irritations in susceptible people. Cow parsnip is a native plant that can reach 8 feet tall. Like the hemlocks, its flowers are white, but cow parsnip flowers are larger, growing to 10 inches across. Wild parsnip has large yellow flowers that are about 5 inches across. It is a stout plant that grows to 5 feet tall with grooves along its stem. Giant hogweed is the worst of the three that causes blisters in the sun. This plant lives up to its name as a giant. It grows 15 feet tall with 5-foot leaves and 2.5-foot white umbel flowers. Its massive size makes it desirable to some home growers, but it is a public hazard that causes severe skin irritation in susceptible people. A USDA pamphlet says this plant sap produces painful, burning blisters that develop dark scars that may persist for years. Fortunately, it has only been found in an isolated location in northwest Illinois, and those plants have been eradicated. Giant hogweed is a federal noxious weed, making it unlawful to propagate, sell, or transport this plant in the United States. Finally, not all carrots are dangerous. Queen Anne's lace is also called wild carrot due to its large, edible taproot. It grows 4 foot tall with lacy, 4-inch flowers. This plant is the ancestor of our cultivated carrot, though its roots are white instead of orange. More information on growing carrots and other edibles is found on the University of Illinois Extension Vegetable Gardening website. That's all we have on the Farm Show this afternoon. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.